You're listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographer Series 2024. Artistic Direction, Brianna O'Mara and Chris Haring. The series is co-funded by the European Union in the frame of Lifelong Burning, Futures Lost and Found. Today's guest is Camila Schielin, a dancer choreographer working in Vienna. After showing her solo piece Into Quickening Ground at Impulse Dance, she talked with author Sean Pfeiffer about the development of the piece, the music and dance styles that influenced it, and how other performers shape her work.
Yeah, hi Camila. Thank you very much for taking the time between shows to talk to me.
Thank you for having me.
I was really, really fascinated by your piece. I was quite surprised as well, not because I expected like to not like it, but because I missed it at TKW Studios, it was, right? Mm-hmm. And then it was the only Attention piece where I didn't get to see a recording, because I think that there isn't. So I really went in blindly in a way. And sometimes it can be useful, like in talking about a piece, to like start with like a general question, like regarding the inception of the piece or the concept or something. But I think I would like to start with something very specific or even like technical, because in the beginning, or not the very beginning, because like it starts even before like the doors close, there's like faint sounds creeping in that you don't immediately notice, but then once you notice them, I feel like they like kind of like sharpen your attention. But then like when it actually starts, so to say, it starts with Little Trouble Girl by Sonic Youth. And we hear and see you as almost like, yeah, sort of see you, because you stand behind the audience looking onto the empty stage with us. And we hear you sing along to the song. So my first very long-winded question is about this doubling of voices, I think, because you could have just played the song by Kim Gordon, or you could have sang it yourself, but you chose to do both. I think it has like something to do with this like layering of past and present that is central to the work, I think. But maybe you could talk a bit more about that choice.
Right. Yeah, for this song in the beginning, I've been thinking a bit. We tried different versions of like once only me singing it. But then in the end, I felt like it's not supposed as a moment of like me singing. It's not about this performance, singing moment, maybe. That's why it also felt good to do it from the back, that it's not like a this stage moment. It starts, she sings something, but it's this, the song is there, but I sing along. And like you said, it was also then this idea of like layering that goes throughout the piece, of that then I sing along with Kim Gordon, made much more sense to me than me singing the song or just Kim Gordon. So this was the idea behind.
Why that song specifically?
I mean, it's a song that I like for a while and that resonated a lot. And they're like throughout the piece also, there are always this like different musicians or female musicians that appear in different forms, like either music or also on the costume. There are some prints, or in this song, or like in this, when I later again start singing, there are also some fragments of other songs then. And this song resonates a lot, or it's a like a companion for a long time. And then I chose this song, of course, also because it's so ambivalent in itself. I feel like it's a bit this sweet chorus, but then there's this verses that are like also a bit harsh. And
the piece draws both from like personal and like larger cultural history, like youth culture and internet culture. Could you give like a little bit more detail about what specifically for you like made its like ghostly return, as you say, and how you wove this like personal and then larger like cultural, these disparate pieces like how you wove them into an actual movement material?
I mean, there's on the one hand the tectonic part, that is this like past youth culture or like shared movement material that is in the piece. And then there is also more like personal movement material. And maybe what's important there for me is that it's this, it derives a bit from maybe personal past or like, but it's also, I feel like it's always a bit like fact and fiction or imagination, like intermingling or desire. So it's like, it could be a recalling the movement material, but it could be also like a imaginative memory or imaginative future.
Could you perhaps talk a bit more about tectonic, because I hadn't really heard of it before I saw your piece?
I got to know this dance was in France, like when I was 16. And actually, I think back then it was already a bit like not so like the high peak of this youth or like dance style. But I got to know it in France, and funny enough, they had it. I got to know it because someone at home had this like DVD with dance tutorials, and I watched it a bit, and I found it very intriguing. But then somehow I didn't. It was not so much on my mind for a long time, but also I was not dancing for a while. And then I don't remember the moment when it came back to me, but somehow I found back to it. And then I was like, actually, I really want to learn it. And I started to watch like YouTube tutorials. And it's also so interesting because the YouTube tutorials for tectonic are also so old, so like the quality is really low, and it's like so interesting also to have this process of like, okay, watching the videos and learning. Yeah, because it's this style, like this internet dances, post-internet dances evolved so much in this like circular movement of like someone filming themselves, uploading it again, then someone learns it by video, films them again. So, exactly. And I think the peak was around 2000, I guess. And I think it was mainly in France, because in Austria I didn't get in touch with it. I also think maybe the style itself is a bit ambivalent in itself, because the leg movement is so like bouncy and like could be almost sensual, but then the hands are like so more stiff or directional, but it's so perpetual and ongoing. And yeah,
there are like, in addition to this sort of maybe collection of like bygone movement material or dances, there's also this actual collecting on stage, because you have like hidden these objects beneath the audience's seats. So, and then you come close in a couple of moments, and you crawl beneath the seats. And first you reach for a sort of like pouch with the word hole written on it, I think. And then there's a couple of more objects that you reach for, and you put them in. So I wanted to ask where that came from and what these objects are, because they're quite small and I couldn't really, really tell.
Yeah, these objects are sometimes quite... Because part of the piece is also this idea of brache, or in English, like fallow land or wasteland. And it's in agriculture, this three-year cycle where you like plant something the first year, the second year, and then the third year you don't plant anything, so the like soil can recover. And then with this dealing, or like with this topic of haunting, I was so drawn to this idea that like it's so seemingly nothing happening to the eye from outside, but then there are so many processes going on inside, and so different things can meet and prepare something for what's to come. So so there was also this idea of like soil, or like of course layers, or what's underneath. And then that's how the shovel came in. And then with the shovel also this pouch, or that it's almost also a bit, the inspiration was also like a tool belt that you have where you put your things to work, or like dig something, or Exactly. And the print is actually a hole is the band by Courtney Love. Oh, yeah. It's this logo. So yeah, and I think also the first song also came because I really like Kim Gordon and I think she's iconic, and same is, I guess, for Courtney Love. So there are these like, yeah, musicians that find their way. So the hole comes from the band, but also of course hole and the layers. Exactly. Exactly, there is this like tool belt where I then also put another thing that I get is like a paper with written lyrics actually that I put then into this belt, and there is the shovel.
I want to talk about the sound a bit, because like the factory at Künstlerhaus where you performed, I feel like it's quite quite a difficult space to make like atmospheric in a way, because it's very clean. It's almost like a bit of a like shoebox type of room, but I feel like you managed it really well. And of course, that's like mostly to the credit of like your physical performance in the space, and then the lighting design as well. But I think it had a lot to do with sound, because it's so. It's so three-dimensional and like tactile, and really layered as well. And we have like lots of like real instruments that we hear, and then we have human voices like talking and mumbling, and we have like atmospheric ambient sounds like from the street corner or from nature. So I wanted to ask about your collaboration with your sound designer and what you were like trying to achieve, or and how that. Like at what point during your process that became like a big part of the performance?
When Pauli came in, maybe like, I cannot even tell, maybe like a few months before the premiere. But we've been working together already. And this was working I was very happy with the collaboration, and I felt like it was easy to exchange ideas or to come to a common ground. And yeah, we decided to have like actual instruments or acoustic instruments. This was important for me because I feel like the materiality or the texture somehow, it's something I really like. And then there are like these, the sounds are coming from different directions, but in some parts. And also Pauli did this thing where he, I don't know how he does it, but there are like sounds that he like pulls in or somehow, or like that they sound like more like in the room, and then he puts them out again so that they sound a bit like from the neck, from out of the window, or like from the street, or from the next room. So this like things that are maybe present and then slowly coming in and are a bit more feelable or hearable and then vanish again. And this was also, an idea. And then, I think I'm a pop culture fan. So I think it was also for me, I wanted to have some songs that are actual songs and to just have them as they are. Like there's the Sonic Youth song. Then there is the one song by Elizabeth Frazier, and then there is a Miley Cyrus sample, but more things, but it was a bit this idea of like, different references also coming in, leaving again.
Yeah, maybe let's stick with this like notion of collaboration for a moment, because it's a solo piece, of course. But in your credits, you credit some other performance artists as being in dialogue with them, Claire Lefebvre, for example, or Julia Müllner. And I wanted to ask how that collaboration looked like, or how other people's physical performance and movement work influences your own and this piece specifically?
I had Andrius Moulokas was doing the artistic, or like was we called it an artistic advisor, but he was like very, we spent lots of time together in the studio. And the like with Julia Müllner and Jo Morishita or Claire, I feel like it's people that I collaborated partially already with that are like very much part of my, let's say, dance journey, or like are close partners maybe also in this way. And so with them it was not so full-time, or but like every now and then to have a talk again or to exchange or share my ideas with them and hear what they think, or they came to the studio to have a look and share their feedback. Yeah, but of course it's this very actual moments of exchange, but of course I think since it's people that are close and around me, it's for sure also influential in other more subtle ways.
I feel like what you're really good at in performing is at like creating images that don't immediately reveal like a symbolic meaning. Like they don't feel like they're standing in for something else, but like themselves. Like I'm thinking of this long stretch towards the end, where you place yourself on that on the black drapery, and your like black hair and like the black hoodie you're wearing. It kind of, like the lighting is just so that like it blends in with the drapery behind, and it really like it almost like disappears in that drapery, and you sit there for a very long time. You sort of like allow us to look at this like shape that you're making until it sort of becomes something else. It doesn't is not only associated with your body sitting there, but like you start to see like different things in it. And it's quite hypnotic. So I was thinking a bit about this this rhythm of like passivity and activity in your movement, because there's these long stretches of dance, and then there's this long stretch of just sitting there. But it took me a while to like realize that you're not moving in a way, because like the lighting like moves around you, and like there's the flow of the drapes, and it's not really like a still image. I feel like there's still like a transformation happening or something. So I wanted to ask how that became like part of the work, and more in, like in general how you think about this in like moments of not passivity but like pause in the work, because there are others where you like sit down for a moment and like redo like the belt and like redo your shoes and almost like get ready to get back to work again or something. Mm-hmm. So was that like how conscious is that choice, or is it just like part of the way you're moving through a space?
I think it's part, or like it was part of the work also with this idea of like regeneration or resting. It was somehow clear that like the resting part like is also like a crucial part maybe in the work. And I've been working with this also with these directions. In the beginning I was thinking of like not having maybe a front, but then I really like the idea of there is like something in front, there's something behind, or I am under. And so this part when I'm at the wall on the drapery or on the curtain, I also like the idea of like me being on the very end of this room, but then there is the curtain that could indicate like something behind, but everybody knows there's the wall, but it's this indicator, and me being on the wall, like facing the wall. But then I have a mic and I sing, and then with the sound again there was this idea that okay, I am like in the distance, but then the sound is coming back through the speakers and being a bit like intimate or feeling close, like is there something, yeah, or to play with this distance, or like with this, maybe I feel like there are some dichotomies that come up with this topic of the ghostly maybe, or like what's present or not present, what's visible or not. But then I think it's more complex than that, in a sense of like okay, I'm resting but something is happening, or like that there are many layers in between this like active or passive also. And this is also something I really want to take care of, that like there are some gestures appearing or there are things appearing, but maybe not to its fullest readability, or like that there's some sort of ambivalence, or that things can appear but then they transform maybe before they reach like a moment where it's like, ah, it's this. So this is something that is that I really like.
I think like a perfect example for that is actually the moment after this long pause, because it really while you're like singing into the mic, and it also took really like a moment for me to realize that it's you doing that, because you kind of like hide it, and but then you sort of like settle into it, and you feel like, okay, it's nearing the end now. It has like credits type of feeling, like, okay, we're nearing the end now. But then you get up again, and you do like this series of very like strong poses that you hold like for a second or something, that are very like, I would say, like in contrast to like the softness of the drapery and the pause and the music, like they're very like strong angled poses, and then you go off and it's done. And so I wanted to ask about that decision as well, because it seemed like a very very specifically set to like disturb this idea of a like a complete like ending, or like going with like a very like nice feeling of, okay, now it's done, and like a short moment of, no, it's not done, actually I have like a few more in me and now it's done.
I mean, I felt it's important that after this moment of like resting, or like maybe withdrawal almost, but I don't feel like it's a withdrawal, but after this moment that I want to like open up again to the audience also, like after I'm there with the back, and that then there is something not concrete but a bit like a moment of like, okay, it's this, even though like what is this is still ambivalent, but that there is some sort of like, yeah, like bringing it a bit back to the room, or like to the floor, or like, yeah.
Was it different doing it in, you only did it in Tikkurila Studios and now here, right? Was it different as a performer? Like, had it the same like horizontal arrangement as in the factory now? And how did that setting change your performance?
Mm-hmm. No, in Tanzquartier it was actually more, because now in the factory I played on the longer side, and in Tanzquartier the front was on the shorter side. Exactly, so there were more rows going to the back in the seating, and there was a bit of a tribune. And I mean, I saw it also a bit in this landscape idea, how the seating was. But yeah, in Tanzquartier I couldn't go on the sides. And now I really liked in factory that it had a bit more air, or that people could be closer because there were less rows behind, but to play a bit more on the long side, and that I can play on the sides and go around. This I really enjoyed, actually.
Yeah, and then lastly, I want to ask a bit about your residency time, because I mean, you're living and working in Vienna, so it's not a big trip. And also it's not your first time at Impulse Dance, because you were in Dance Web a couple of years ago, I think. But yeah, I still imagine there's a difference now, like showing your own piece at the festival. And yeah, I wanted to ask a bit about how you used that time. Was it mostly rehearsal time for you, or?
I feel like since the show was still coming up, I was a bit like, I always had it in my, and was mostly like working a bit towards the performance. But I also used some time for like a very free, open work on something else or new maybe. But I feel like the focus was on the preparation also for the work, or like going back to the material, like seeing how it feels doing it again after this half a year that has passed, and how it could, you know, if things change or what stays or how it transforms. So mostly it was being busy with the piece. But it was very nice to have this time again to go back to it. And then it was also nice to have this time to work very openly on something new, because I feel like it's not so often that you have studio space without, or like if you work on something new, it's mostly because you had to have already like a fixed concept and like that. So this was also very nice to have this studio space for this.
Thank you very much, Camilla, for talking to me. And thank you to Volkstheater as well for letting us record here. And I wish you the best for your last show tonight. And yeah, thanks again.
You have been listening to the Attention Young Choreographer Series podcast. To never miss a new episode, follow us on Spotify, Podcast Addict or Deezer. For more artist conversations, visit our websites lifelongburning.eu and impulsdance.com.